Hey everybody, this is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, who's happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Wow, seven people. Come on, who's happy to be in the house of the Lord today? There we go. Come on. Now, if you were here a couple of Wednesday nights ago, Billy McLaughlin, I'm going to blame this on you. I see you here already. But there was this couple. I'm going to tell it a different way this time. I'm going to tell it. Usually I tell it a man and his nagging wife, but I'm going to tell it. It was a wife and her nagging husband. How many of y'all wives agree with me? Men can be as nagging as well. But this wife and her nagging husband, they went on a trip with their church to Israel to see all the sights, and something bad happened while they were there. And he became very ill, became very sick. In fact, he died while they were on the trip. And he met before Jewish authorities there. They'd been married for quite some time. Like I said, he was a nagger and a grouchy old fart. Met before Jewish authorities and said, "Ma'am, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is this. We'll give you a proper burial. We'll do it right here. We'll give him the right Jewish burial, and we'll do it for only $300. The bad news is if we send him back to America, it'll cost you $40,000. If you have to go through all the customs and all that different stuff, it's going to cost you a chunk of change. So what would you like to do?" She said, "That's easy. Let's take him back to America." He said, "Whoa, are you sure you want to do that?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, you don't look like somebody who's well-to-do. I don't know that this is really a good decision. You'll be saving lots of money. And I mean, he's just in the grave. What does it matter?" And she said, "No, I want to take him back to America." He said, What's your decision behind this?" And she said, "The last time they buried somebody in Jerusalem, he rose again in 3 days, and I'm not willing to take that chance." Come on. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, open to Matthew chapter 27. I just want to read this to you real quick, and then we're going to go to John chapter 11, so get ready to go to the book of John. It says this in Matthew 27, verse 64. It says, "Therefore give orders to have the tomb made secure and safeguarded until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and tell the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' And the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, and along with a guard of soldiers, they set a seal on the stone. Now, after the Sabbath, near dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And the great earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone away the stone, and sat on it. Now, how many of y'all know that's a big angel? You know, that gives me hope. The Bible says he keep his angels charge over you, keep you in all your ways, that no evil befall you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I want big ones. I don't want little ones. Ones that sit on stones, those are my kind, right? Verse 3, "The angel's appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards shook, paralyzed with fear of him, and became like dead men, pale and immobile. They saw a ghost. But the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said, come see the place where he was lying.'" Come on, that ought to put something in your belly that he is risen. But as I studied this out this week, in verse 64, he said, "Give orders to have the tomb secured." And then we see in verse 66 that he did. He made the tomb secure. This word secure means this, that so before Jesus went into the grave, he was made ready by Nicodemus and made ready by Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea was a high-ranking official inside of the land. He had lots of money. In fact, the Bible tells us that he hewned out he made a place, a new proper burial for this Jesus to be, his Jesus to be laid in. So they prepared his body. Mary, his mother, and Mary Magdalene, the one who washed Jesus' feet and the one who put the perfume and anointed Jesus' body. They were there. They got him ready. They placed him in the tomb. The stone was rolled over. And then people came to him and said, the deceiver, they said that he might come back in 3 days. So I want you to make it secure. It meant it was a legal contract saying that there's no way that he's ever coming back again. So they rolled the stone back away. These high-ranking officials and leaders, Pilate, he gave the order for the governor of the land. He made people go in there, and they sat with the body of Christ. This is what that word secure means. They sat with the body of Christ and made sure there's no way that he's ever coming back. He's done. Stick a fork in him. There's no way that he's ever coming out of this situation. They rolled the stone back. They put a string across the tomb, and they stamped it with Pilate's seals. And it was a legal contract saying that it was never coming back. And as I read that, the preacher voice came in me. Y'all look out, just warning. If I slick back my hair and stand on a chair right now, I'm sorry. But it excites me. Because you may be inside of this room and you've got a legal contract from a doctor saying there is no way that you're going to get out of this situation. You may have got a legal contract from somebody that's coming against you and suing you, your business, or coming against you legally, and they've got a judge and they've hired people and saying there's no way you're going to come out of this situation. Maybe you've been served papers by an ex and divorce is in your sight. It's a legal contract saying there's no way you're ever going to get out of this situation. Maybe it's from a bank that says, you know what? There's no way. Bankruptcy is in sight for you. I'm here to give you good news that even though the legal system says there's no way you're coming out of it, I'm here to tell you that we serve a God that no matter what legal contract you go through, he is risen and he is alive. And if you invite him into that situation, I promise you this, there is resurrection power inside of this room for you and me. There is resurrection power. I want to tell America today, it may look legal that we stick a fork in America. I got good news for somebody this morning. I believe God's not done with America. He's still the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. But he does say in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and repent of their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. I'm telling you, you want revival in America, there better be some repentance going on in the land today. So that's just a precursor. I wanted to share that with you. I believe that was for somebody inside of the room. But I want to invite you to John chapter 11. I want to talk about resurrection that can happen in your situation. See, resurrection is nothing new for us. Those of you that are here every Sunday morning, we always make mention of the blood. I'm never going to go through a service. We're never in this house, never not going to mention the blood of Jesus. We get so comfortable with crosses all over our walls, and this is a decoration. I'm telling you, there's no pretty thing about the cross and what he did for you and me. But we always make mention of the blood, and we always make mention of the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday every Sunday, so I want to encourage you, be back in the house for that. But in John chapter 11, I want to talk, we've been talking about the walking in the footsteps of Jesus, started this last week. And I think it's very important that these stories in our life of how Jesus, how he navigated through life, the Bible says, greater works shall you do. I'm telling you, you get close to the Father, there'll be miracle working faith happen on the inside of you. You get close to the Father. I'm telling you, through this last year, I could see the ones who were close to the Father. I really could. But it's just like I talked about it last week. When you're on the beach and you're walking, it's so much easier to walk in footsteps. You know, if Pastor Brandy's in front of me, I got to put my legs closer together. But if I got a bunch of stuff, walking in her footsteps makes it so much easier because she's taken away the loose and she's packed it. I'm telling you, it's the same way with Christ. He's already made a way So we just need to follow in his footsteps. He'll make it easier for you and for me. But I also got to thinking about it like this. You know, when you hunters out there, isn't it amazing all the things that you'll do to hunt an animal? You'll crawl. You'll go through thicket. You'll put pee on you. Come on, some of you are your religious bodies. He just say pee in church? Yes, I did. I said pee. I'll be proper. Urine. Put no urine all over you. Stink to high heaven. Go get up early in the morning. Freeze to death. Isn't it amazing all the things we'll do to hunt an animal, but yet the little we'll do to be in the presence of God, the Creator? Y'all don't want to hear that. It's all right. Don't be messing with me right now. I'm trying to keep my cool for all these people. But we study their behavior. We study where they've been. We study where they've gone. We study what they're doing right now. We put out cameras. We put all that different stuff. It's the same way with Christ. He gave us a whole book. What's the habits of Christ? Where he's been and where he wants to go and what he wants to do. And I'm telling you, if you study it out, you'll begin to have an excitement on the inside of you that he wants the same for you and for me. John chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now a certain man named Lazarus was sick." This means he was completely homebound. Not like he had, the flu or the cold or something minor. This means he was actually super homebound. Like there's no way that he's coming out of this situation. He was from Bethany, the village where Mary and her sister Martha lived. Now, if you study text, you see there's a passage of scripture in the book of Luke where it talks about he went to these particular sisters' home, and he had a relationship with this with these three, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. We see that in John chapter 12, actually, after this particular story. So the sisters sent word to him saying, "Lord, he, our brother and your friend, whom you love, is sick." Says the word sick again, trying to really paint the picture. When Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness will not end in death. But on the contrary, it is for the glory and for the honor of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." Now Jesus loved and was concerned about Martha, her sister, and Lazarus, and considered them dear friends. So even when he heard, pay attention to this, so even when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed in the same place 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." I want to talk about this just for a moment. I want to continue with this story because I want to share with you of the miracle that happens in Lazarus' home and inside of this Mary and Martha. But how many of you have ever felt like this before where you've cried out to the Lord? Verse 6 says, "So even when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed in the same place where he was 2 more days. Now, I want to answer this before I get ahead of myself. The reason that he stays there is not because he doesn't love Lazarus. It's because there is a band of people that are against him to kill him. And so he knows that there's going to be a little bit of drama if he goes at this particular time. How many of y'all know that God cares about even the places that you go, and we need to be led by the Spirit of God even at the moment of when we go there? He wants to keep his angels shard around about us, but he wants to give us wisdom as well of when and where we go. And so he doesn't go. But how many of y'all have ever been at the place before where you've cried out to the Lord, you've prayed, and you've thought to yourself, "God, are you even in the room? God, I cried out to you. You know how important this is to me, but yet you have not showed up yet." I can put it like this. Your experience doesn't match up to your expectation. How many of y'all have ever been at that place before where your experience did not match up to your expectation? You know, you experienced divorce when you expected marriage. You experienced defeat when you expected victory. You experienced sickness when you expected healing. You experienced being broke When you expected to be rich, you experienced just another man when you expected to have a dad that was close to you. You experienced just another woman when you expected a mom really to show up on the scene. You experienced a leader that was weak and frail when you expected someone who was going to stand in the gap for you and for me. But I'm here to tell you, you may have experienced those things and expected something different. I want to tell you today, it doesn't end in death if you connect to Jesus Christ. It doesn't end in death. How would you ever have a testimony without first going through a test? Why would you ever need healing without the healer? Deliverance without the deliverer? Supplies without the supplier? Salvation without the Savior? I'm here to tell you, He sent His Son. And not just anybody. The scourging couldn't kill Him. The crown of thorns couldn't kill Him. All the people that came against Him couldn't kill Him. It was only that He gave His life and lifted up His spirit. I commit my spirit unto you. I'm telling you, you may not understand why you're going through what you're going through, but it may just be the fact that Jesus can show you that He really is the healer, that He really is the Savior. I'm telling you, we serve a big God. We serve a big God. No matter what situation you're going through, I'm telling you, there is resurrection power inside of Him. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, "Call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." He said, "Let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say that I am rich." I'm telling you, in Christ, we have victory. We don't no longer fight for victory, but we fight from victory. The price has already been paid. The race has already been run for you and me. I better keep going here. In verse 14, it says, "So then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead." So he went from being sick, he doesn't show up, and now he is dead. That word dead means he is expired. He is no longer breathing. He's gone. Goes to verse 19, "And many of the Jews had come to see Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning the loss of their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him while Mary remaining sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you.'" There's an expectation there. "Jesus told her, 'Your brother will rise from the dead.' Martha replied, 'I know that he will rise from the dead in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life.'" He didn't just resurrect. How many of y'all know that's in his DNA? That's who he is, resurrection power. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe? So let me paint the picture very clearly to you. Here's Mary and Martha. They send a word out to Jesus. Say, "Hey, my brother's sick. He's on the brink of death. He's about to die." Jesus stays where he is for two more days. He hears that he dies. He's been dead now for 4 days. And now he's walking down the street to go to where they are and where Lazarus is dead. I've always painted this in my picture. I'm sure she's leaned up against a post waiting for Jesus to come. Before Karen, there was Martha. Some of y'all get that? No, a lot of y'all. How many of y'all have some Karens in your life? Well, just start calling them Martha. Martha's calling. Martha's back on Facebook. Come on. There was Martha. And I'm going to tell you, she was standing there and she had her hand on her hip. If you know what I'm saying. She was middle naming Jesus. You know what I'm saying? With that kind of sticking out. I know you got my Snapchat. I was looking on my text message and I saw where it said red, and I even saw bubbles where you didn't even text back. Come on, somebody. Come on. I saw that you were on Facebook Come on, I'm preaching to somebody right now, and I ain't even preaching. I saw you were on there, and you didn't even reply back. You didn't even say nothing. You knew he was sick. I know you knew he was sick. How many of y'all have ever been that way with God before? If you were here, if you were just here, how many of you know he was there? But I'm here to tell you, he said this sickness doesn't end in death. And I want to tell you the same thing today. No matter what you're going through, your sickness does not end in death. If you allow him to come into the situation. He said, but even now I know this. She said, if you would have been here, my brother would have been made well. Shame on you. Shame on you. But she said, even now, through all the pain, come on, how many of you have ever been here before? Maybe you're here in this room today. That no matter what you've gone through, what you've lost, how much hurt you've been through, of whatever you've gone through, even now. Come on, tell somebody this morning, even now, I know whatever you ask. You know why she said that? Because she had heard. She had seen that this was the Jesus that walked on water. That's kind of why she was out there. She was doing, don't even act like you don't know. You know when a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years touched your body. And there was so many people inside of the room. You knew. You knew when Jay Iris' daughter was about to die. You knew. You knew that moment. You knew it. You knew that there was a man with a crippled hand that needed to stretch out his hand. You knew you were going to walk on water. But you're telling me today that you don't know that my brother was sick and about to die? Am I the only one who's ever gotten an attitude with Jesus before? I mean, how ridiculous, but I've been there. Of where the relationship didn't go the way that I thought it was going to. Or the financial thing that I thought if I just did this, it would break free. Or if I parented this particular way, that my kids would screw their head back on right and properly. Man, it's hot in here. But I love it what Jesus says to her. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Oh man, I could keep going with that, but let's go to verse 30. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. You know, there's so much talk in here. How many times do we just do a whole lot of talking and not a lot of stepping out in faith? She's still just wanting to yap about it, complain. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw how quickly Mary got up and left, they followed her, assuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, here it is again from the other sister. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her sobbing, and the Jews who had come with her also sobbing, he was deeply moved in his spirit and was troubled. I think he sees a little bit of doubt. He sees a little disbelief. I think he sees a little bit of faith, but not enough. But one of the things here, he was deeply moved. It means he groaned in his spirit. Now, I can tell you all the things of what that means, but this word groaning in the Greek, really what it means is to snort like an angry stud horse. Now, that painted a picture to me of shoeing horses the last several years of being in a barn where there's a stud and they bring in another stud. How many of y'all have ever been in those situations before? Or maybe being at Rocky Mountain National Park where a bull elk has his harem and another bull elk shows up through the trees. There's a new sheriff in town. Why was he doing this? Because he saw death. And there was about to be a showdown with death. Oh, before he died and there was a showdown and he defeated. There was, before that, there was John chapter 11 where there was an angry stud horse looking over the fence and said, competition is here and I'm here to let you know that I am going to beat you and I'm going to stomp you into the ground. In fact, we see in verse 35 that it's the shortest scripture in the Bible that Jesus wept. That means he was so moved inside of his spirit. It wasn't that he was crying for Lazarus because he had died. It means he was so moved with compassion on the inside of him, tears begin to come out of him. And what I just want to remind you of, 2 Timothy 1:10 says, "And now he has made all this plain to us by the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ, who broke the power of death and showed us the way of everlasting life through trusting him." Isaiah 25:8 says, "He will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away all tears and take away forever all insults and mockery against his land and people. The Lord has spoken. He will surely do it." It says this in Hosea 13:14, "And I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plague. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes." 1 Corinthians 15:24. "Then comes to the end when he delivers the kingdom to God and the Father, when he puts to end all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet." The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Come on, I'll say it one more time. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. "For he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is expected." Accepted, sorry. Revelations 1:18, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. "And I have the keys of Hades and of death." So when he showed up with as that angry stud horse, he said, "There's a new sheriff in town, and I'm about to take the keys away from you." Come on, how many of y'all thankful that he took the keys of death away? Because he is the resurrection and the life. So he is deeply moved in his spirit. He was not deeply moved in his flesh. He was not deeply moved in his emotions, but he was deeply moved in his spirit. Come on. I want to encourage you. I want to invite you to do that. Don't be deeply moved by what's in your flesh or deeply moved by what's in your emotions, but be deeply moved by what's in the Spirit of God on the inside of you. He was troubled, verse 34, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." The first thing that I want you to do, take away from this morning, if you want resurrection power in your situation, invite him into your situation. You know, lots of times we want to invite the in-laws and tell them everything that's going on against the other ones. You know what I'm saying? Or we want to invite people into the situation on Facebook and let everybody know that you're mad and that you're offended. Hello. Amen. We want to tell everybody. We want to get on the horn and call people and text people and let everybody know. But I want to tell you, you really want resurrection power in the situation that has you hurt. You really want resurrection power on the thing that has offended you and made you madder than a hornet. I want to tell you, why don't you invite the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords into your situation? Why don't you say, "God, you come and see. I've already invited my best friend. I've already invited my mama, my daddy, my grandpappy's pappy's pappy, and they're not doing anything good for me. But why don't you invite the one who can actually bring resurrection power to death moments in your life?" What you're doing there is strife. It's strife. I'm going to say it again. It's strife. You want a miracle? Invite the miracle worker. He'll love the unlovable. He'll give grace to the ungraceable. He'll forgive the unforgivable. Verse 35, Jesus wept. It was a burst of tears. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him, as close as a friend." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the blind man's eyes have kept this man from dying?" So Jesus, again, with anger, deeply moved, like a stud horse, says, there's a new sheriff in town within the approach of the tomb. It was a cave. Now, there's something that you need to know about this. Lots of times we think about Lazarus and we see pictures of how there was this tomb like at the door and Jesus is standing here and he says, Lazarus, come forth. But that's not how it was at all. There was a tomb. It was a cave in the side of a mountain. In fact, today when you go there in Israel, I'm going to go there one day, but they say that Lazarus, where he was buried, was not it was in a cave, but it went down some steps and he was like 15 feet down into the ground. It's not like he was standing right here and said, move the stone away. Lazarus, come forth. And he just appeared. This is for a reason that you need to know this when we get to the text. Jesus said, take the stone away. But Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an offensive odor. I'm telling you, this is Karen. You're going to do what? It's Mr. Potato Head. Sorry, I had to go there. It's the Braves. The Redskins. Lord have mercy. Grow up. Cat in the Hat. I mean, come on. I'm going to stop. Aunt Jemima? Like, seriously. She can come to my house any day. I promise you. Glory to God. Oh, my goodness. You know, you're always going to have these Marthas. I'm just going to go ahead and point this out. There's always going to be a Karen. I mean, a Martha. Come on. How many of y'all are dealing with a Martha right now? Let me just see a show of hands. I got a whole bunch of liars, and some people are telling the truth. Come on. Who is dealing with a Martha? I've dealt with them. Lord have mercy. Your brother's about to come to life, and all you can think about is how much he stinks. Lordy. I hear it from Christians all the time. You want resurrection power in your life? Well, you need to pray. Well, that's going to stink. You want me to pray how much? Oh, every day? Well, that stinks. You want resurrection power? You need to read the Word of God. Well, I don't like to read. Well, stay dead. You can get the Bible on YouVersion and it will read it to you. You can get it from an English lady that will say Philippians 3:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or you can get it in Texas. Heck, I don't know. I'm just saying there's no excuse. But what do we want? We want to say, oh, it's going to stink. It stinks. Oh, Lord. You want resurrection power? Why don't you get in the presence of God? Well, I ain't got time. That stinks. I'm telling you, this is Karen right here. Oh, I've already hit the spiritual. Let's go ahead and hit the practical side. They come to me, Pastor, my finances are out of wreck. I'm trying to save money. Okay, well, this is what you need to do. You need to do without cable. Cable? That's gonna stink. Well, stay broke. Don't come to me for things. Stay broke. Well, I have to do without $5 coffee? Moving on. You want this relationship restored? You're going to have to walk in love. You know what they said, though. Yeah, I know what they said. You know what they did. Yes, I know what they did. But the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. I'm not saying that you get together and have fried chicken every Friday night. Avoid them at all cases, but I'm here to say, stop talking bad about them. Stop saying things. Come on, stop drawing a wedge between them. It's going to stink. Well, do you want resurrection power or not? Things are going to stink. And there's, Lord, offended. You want me to walk in forgiveness? Oh, no. I'm holding on to this one. This one's going to the grave. I will die being mad. Well, you're dying right now, so might as well go ahead and enjoy it. I keep going all day. Maybe there's some of you in this room. You know that you're supposed to have a relationship with Christ, and you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm going to lose my friends. I'm telling you, God has something new in store for you. Resurrection power. You can come up with every excuse you want to. It's going to stank. I'm telling you, no, the sweet fragrance of resurrection power on the inside of you, giving you things that you never thought you would have ever again. I'm telling you, let him stick his head into your situation, and those things will be made better than they ever were before. Come on, somebody. Amen. I gotta hurry. I only got an hour and a half. Just kidding. For he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say, are you even listening to me? That if you believe in me, you will see the glory of God. So they took away the stone. The first thing you need to do is take away the stone. You need to take a step in faith and do something that you've never done before. Walk in love. Walk in forgiveness. Read your Bible. Pray. Get in the presence of God. I'm telling you, you do something in the natural, the supernatural will get a hold of you. Roll the stone away. He could have never came out of that grave if the stone was not rolled away. So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me and listen to me, but I have said this because of the people standing around so that they may believe that you have sent me. When he had said this, he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Now, I want you to think about the situation. It's not that the tomb was that far away. What Jesus did was he stuck his head inside of that grave. And he said, Lazarus, come out. Come on, I'm telling you this morning, you want resurrection power in your situation, let him stick his head into your situation. Allow the Lord to speak. When you speak the word, you know that's all he did. When he stuck his head in there, he said, Lazarus, come forth. You want resurrection power in your situation? You need to speak the word of God. Come on, I'm going to say it again. You want resurrection power in your situation? Instead of sticking your head in everybody else's business, why don't you let God stick his head in yours and speak the word of God through you, through your lips? Because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. Stick his head into that situation. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. He shouted it. I'd hate to think that I shout more at my kids or my wife or the neighbor's dog, Satan. That's his name. I would hate to think that I get more worked up about those things than I do about an enemy that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Come on, he shouted. He stuck his head in that situation. And out came the man who had been dead. His hands and feet tightly wrapped in burial cloths, and with a cloth wrapped around his face, Jesus said to them, unwrap him and release him. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I want you to think about it. Him being way down in that tomb, he had all of those things that were around him. He had been wrapped. And when he was resurrected, he had to walk up them steps with all of that stuff. I'm here to tell you this morning, there may be some stuff on you. There may be some things that you've grabbed a hold of that had happened 5 years ago. It happened 10 years ago. It happened 15 years ago. Maybe it was the time that you were born. Maybe there's some things that's tried to wrap itself around you. I want to tell you this morning, invite God into the situation. Roll the stone away. Speak the word and walk up the steps. Begin to walk by faith and not by sight. And with all that around him, I promise you this, it was heavy, it was hard, it was not easy. But the Bible says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He said this, I have overcome the world. He said he humbled himself even to death, death on the cross. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's very important that we see it may be difficult to walk up the steps. It may be difficult to see breakthrough in particular things, but I'm here to tell you, you step out in faith in the natural and the supernatural will begin to hit you. The supernatural of that thing that you thought was never going to come back. It was never going to be resurrected. It was never going to work itself out. It may be in your finances. It may be in a kid coming back to the land of the living. It may be inside of your marriage. It may be inside of your job. No matter what it is, you may be a single mom that's inside of this room and you're at a place of loss. You're at a place of feeling lonely. You're at a place where you feel like there's no way you're coming out. I'm here to tell you there's resurrection power inside of the room today. If you're a teenager and maybe there's some things in your life you've done in the dark, you have secrets inside of your life. Maybe you're a young man or a young woman, this is you, where you've played in the things of the world. You've been playing with things in darkness. I'm here to tell you, invite God. You may be hurting, you may be insecure, you may be at a place of loss. I'm here to tell you, invite God into your situation. And I promise you this, resurrection power will come into your situation. Resurrection power. I'll say it again. Resurrection power will come into your situation. Maybe you're in this room today, you're in here and you say, you know what, Pastor, that's me. I'm in a place in my life, I'm in a place of loss, I'm in a place of hurt, I'm a place of where I feel like I'm backed in a corner. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're at a place and saying, no, that's going to stink if I do that. No. Would you rather be alive or would you rather be dead? Because it's already dead, you might as well take the chance at being alive. It's already dead. You might as well take the chance of it being alive. I'm going to say it again. It's already dead. He already died. You might as well walk in victory this morning in your situation. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to invite you to be bold this morning and to say, Pastor, you know what? That's me. There's some things in my life that I'm holding on to. I've been a Karen. I've been a Martha. I'll give you perspective right now. I don't understand offense. Because I don't live for other people. I live for God. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't get it. But there's people in this room that are abound saying, this stinks. I can't get over it. There's people that are bound by addiction. Things that are happening in closed doors and closed closets. I'm telling you, there's resurrection power inside the room today. Don't just come here this morning to check it off the list and go to grandmama's house and eat deviled eggs. Or angel eggs, sorry. Don't do that. Let this be something that where it is a turnaround. Repentance is a turnaround. I'm not going back to the way I was. I'm now a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. But the first one I want to deal with this morning, you're holding on to something and you know you need to let it go. You're holding on to something and you know you need to let it go. Come on, who can be bold this morning? Amen. I see that hand. Just lift your hand this morning. I need to let it go. I need to let it go. I need to let it go. Come on, keep your hand raised this morning. There's some of y'all are fighting it. Let freedom work in your life today. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There's freedom inside of this room. Come on, just keep your hand raised. Be bold this morning. I see hands all over this room. Why don't y'all agree with me in prayer for these that have their hands raised? God, I pray for these right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I pray that under the sound of my voice, I call upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I call upon the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, I pray for this situation, maybe in a relationship, maybe in a marriage, maybe in a job. Maybe something that they've been holding on to for many years. They've been holding on to it, and it's eat them alive, that it's consumed them. God, I thank you that there is resurrection power inside the room today. Lord, right there where they are, I pray that you give them a step to roll the stone away. Lord, give them a step to step out in faith and do something they've never done before. They've called on everybody else. They've told everybody else about it. But God, this morning, may they invite you. May they say to you, God, come and see. Come and see. May they have the heart like Mary, Martha, that said, even now, I know whatever you ask, a miracle can be done. So Lord, I pray by the Spirit of God, all of these that have their hands raised across this room, God, do a miracle in their heart. Do a miracle in their life in Jesus' name. There's one more thing I'm going to do. Go ahead and put your hand down with every head bowed, with every eye closed. If you're in this room and you say, Pastor, I'm away from the Lord. I don't have a relationship with the Lord. Maybe you did and you've walked away from it. Don't let this be a service where you just check it off the list. Let this be life-changing. I believe God is pulling on somebody's hearts. The anointing that was in here through praise and worship, I believe God is doing something in the lives of people right now. If you're in here and you say, Pastor, I'm away from God. Or maybe you've never had a relationship with him. The Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that he died on the cross and on the third day he rose again. He'd come live on the inside of you. It's the easiest thing you'll ever do and experience freedom like you've never had. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're all alone going, navigating through life. I'm telling you, the Bible says, I'll be a brother. I'll stick closer to you than any brother that you've ever had. The Bible says he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. Call unto me and I will answer you, show you great mighty things which you do not know. I don't care what you've said. I don't care what you've drank. I don't care what you've shot in your arm. I don't care what you've smoked through a pipe. I don't care about any of that. And let me tell you something. God doesn't either. He wants a relationship with you. He'll forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If that's you today, say, you know what? I need a relationship with the Lord. I want you to pray this prayer after me. Everybody in the room, pray it with me. Say, Jesus, I believe you died. You were buried. But on the third day, you rose again. I know you're alive today and at the right hand of the Father. I invite you into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. From this day forward, I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.